Proverbs chapter 27. I want to take a few minutes tonight. I'll not be long in the message, but I want to take a few moments to share a truth with you that we talked about in our family time around the scriptures the other day. And I told my kids this afternoon, they helped me study for the message. And we were discussing these couple of verses and such a rich truth. One of the things that we like to do when we spend time in the scriptures as a family is to look at the Proverbs, because there's such practical wisdom in the book of Proverbs for our lives that can be applied to every person, no matter how old or young you are. So much wonderful wisdom from God here in this great book. And tonight we find our place in Proverbs chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 23 and 24 in just a moment. And I want to speak to you for just a few moments tonight about the topic of diligence in duty. But before we read the text tonight, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask God to speak to our hearts and help us from His Word. Our Father, thank You for Your wonderful Word. Lord, were it not for Your Word, we would be so devoid of understanding about Your wonderful person, Your character, Your nature. And we thank You, Lord, for the revelation that You've given to us, this written Word of God. We thank You tonight for the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us to illuminate our path and to make clear the Scriptures. And we ask You this evening, Heavenly Father, that You would speak to us from Your Word. We pray that You'd be glorified here in this service and challenge us in our lives with these simple thoughts about diligence. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would receive glory and honor and praise from our lives as we seek to apply the Word of God in the days that are ahead. May the Holy Spirit of God have His will and His way in our lives tonight. Help us to be attentive hearers and then obedient doers of the Word. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 27 tonight. Look there at verse number 23. And 24. The Bible says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation?" Now, the book of Proverbs is interesting, and I'll just give you a little bit of an introduction to how to look at the book of Proverbs. There, you may know that Proverbs is a book of Hebrew poetry. And, of course, it's translated into the English language for us here in our English Bible. So even if it did rhyme in Hebrew, it wouldn't necessarily rhyme in English. However, Hebrew poetry is different than that, and typically, from what we understand, it's more of a parallelism of thought, or a rhyming of thought, as opposed to a rhyming of sounds. And so Hebrew poetry, and in particular the book of Proverbs, is structured in such a way with thoughts that parallel one another. And what you'll find as you read the book of Proverbs, and if you've read it before, you'll probably understand what I'm saying, is that typically the Proverbs are one verse and they stand alone as an independent thought, and then the next verse is another thought which stands alone by itself. And there are two basic forms that the Proverbs take. One is a contrasting parallelism, and one is a comparative or amplifying parallelism. The contrasting parallelism would state a truth and then would state a contrasting truth, or would, in other words, would say, this is good and this is bad. And we see that a lot in the book of Proverbs. That's not the type of parallelism that we see here in our text tonight. The amplifying parallelism is that which states a truth and then builds upon it in the next statement. And so it's a parallel that says, this is the truth, and then this is the further truth that goes with that. And in this case, I believe we have these two verses which stand together speaking about the importance of diligence. And actually, the verses that follow pertain as well to the same topic in verse 25, 26, and 27. But for the sake of time tonight, we're just going to look at verse 23 and 24. And with that in mind, with that idea of an amplifying parallelism, we're going to read it again and look for what I'm talking about there. He says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. And tonight I want to speak to you about the importance of diligence in our lives. Diligence. We're going to talk about what diligence is in just a moment, but I want to look at a couple of thoughts before we get to that. And first of all, I want you to see how he uses the word thou. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. And it struck me that there is a personal need for diligence in each one of our lives. You see, that singular pronoun, thou, speaks about the importance of diligence in every person's life. In other words, you could be married to someone who is diligent, but that doesn't make you diligent. You could have parents who are diligent, but that doesn't make you diligent. You could go to a church with other people who are diligent, but that doesn't make you diligent. There is a need for each and every one of us to develop diligence in our lives. Try as you might, you can never be diligent for someone else, and no one else can be diligent for you. Be thou diligent. I thought how sometimes parents would like to be diligent for their children. I tell my children all the time, or frequently at least, that if I could get saved for them, I would do it. I would, in a heartbeat. I would pray and ask God to save them, and if I could do it for them, I would. But you know what? That is something between them and God. That is something that each one of them has to deal with, and can we even say parents wrestle with sometimes? And we watch our children sometimes wrestle with those spiritual concepts and with security of their salvation, and we want to swoop in and fix it for them, and guess what? We can't do that because it's between them and God. And we can certainly give them godly counsel. We can help them. We can point them to the scriptures. We ought to do all those things. We can admonish them to come to Christ. But as a parent, you never will be able to save your children in your own power. You know, parents can't even really be diligent for their children in other matters either. You know, if a parent is doing their child's homework for them, there's a little bit of a problem. And so as a parent, you can teach your child to be diligent. You can admonish them. You can encourage them. You can remind them. You can command them. You can all those sorts of things. But at the end of the day, they've got to make a decision about being diligent. And of course, as they get older, this more and more begins to fall on their shoulders to develop diligence. And it's an unwise parent who runs around trying to do everything for their child to make sure that they look good. Instead, sometimes you're going to have to let your children have some failures, some falls, and understand that there's consequences when they're not diligent, when they don't get everything done. But sometimes as parents, we don't want to be embarrassed because our children failed in some way. And so we try to, but you know what? At some point, it's going to come out if someone is not diligent. So there's a need for your child to be diligent. There's a need for you to be diligent for yourself. Ultimately, children have to learn how to be diligent and to stand on their own two feet. How about this? Hoping that your pastor or your church will make up for your lack of personal diligence in spiritual things will never work. Saying, well, I go to a good church and my pastor opens the scripture and he preaches the word of God. Well, that is as it should be. That's what we should be looking for. But that doesn't make up for your lack of diligence in your own personal walk with God. What you receive from the pulpit and in Sunday school is never going to be sufficient for what you need in your spiritual life. You're going to have to develop some diligence in your life to walk with God. You can't just count on someone else to do that for you. I think sometimes, and go back to parenting for a moment, I think sometimes parents hope by bringing their kids to a good church and making sure they're in the services and in Sunday school, that somehow, you know, it'll catch and it'll just magically, they'll come to Christ. But, you know, there's things that in your home you need to be diligent to do as well. Amen. There's a responsibility as a parent that you have. And so there's a personal need for diligence. Now, this is not to say that we could never delegate areas of maintenance. But ultimately, even when we delegate areas of maintenance, we are ultimately responsible to be diligent to make sure that those things are done. Let me give you an example. If you live in a condominium type of a development and you have certain rules regarding the upkeep of the exterior of your house, you could delegate a painter or contractor to do some work to the exterior of your house, but ultimately, if they don't do it right, who's responsible? You are. And you're going to have to pay somebody to make it the way that the homeowners association wants it to be so that they'll be happy. They're not going to go to the contractor and say, now, contractor, you messed this up. That's your responsibility because it's your house. So you might delegate it out to somebody, but that doesn't relieve you of your responsibility in that area. In the example in our text here, he uses the example of flocks and herds. And so a farmer with a large holding of flocks and herds didn't necessarily have to be the one that was out in the field with the sheep and with the goats and the cattle, but he would perhaps hire a shepherd, perhaps find someone who could be responsible to oversee that for him. But ultimately, who was it that would bear the results of whether he made a good choice or not? Well, it's going to be that farmer. Because ultimately, if that person that he hired doesn't do a good job, then he's going to lose part of his flock. So there's going to be a need still for him to be engaged, for him to be checked in, for him to be knowing what is going on. To return back to our example of parenting, a parent could delegate responsibility for the training of their children in the things of the Lord, but ultimately the parent is responsible to make sure that the children are receiving and understanding that instruction. You understand, you can't hire somebody else to be that child's parent. You can't say, well, the Sunday school teacher didn't teach him right. Well, actually, you need to take that responsibility. There's a need for diligence, and it is a personal need for diligence. Could you be so bold tonight as to put your name into verse 23? And to say that each and every one of us must be diligent to do some things, to know some things, to be involved in some things. So there's a personal need for diligence. But second of all, we see in this text that there is a continual need for diligence. It says there, be thou diligent. Now, the verb be is a state of being verb. I hate to bring you back to English class, but the verb indicates a state of being or a continual pursuit. It's something that must be done over and over and over again. Did you ever notice that diligence is not a one-time decision? Wouldn't it be nice if you could just go to the altar on a Sunday night at a service like this and get on your face before God and say, Lord, from here on out, I'm going to be diligent, and that would be the end of it. It would never be a struggle, never be a difficulty for you. But you know, the truth of the matter is tonight, if you say, God, I'm going to be more diligent in this area of my life, I guarantee tomorrow when you wake up, you're going to struggle with that area in your life. And you're going to have to determine then to follow through on the commitment that you've made. It's an interesting thing. Sometimes we live in an old house, the parsonage, which belongs to the church family here. And we live there. The house itself is probably close to 150 years old. It's quite old. And so, of course, it's got lots of character. And when folks visit in our home, they remark on the thick stone walls and some of the character of the home. And it is. It's a beautiful home. But I always say living in an old house just means that you work a lot. And by the way, some of you live in newer houses. I bet it's no different for you, is it? This is what we call the pride of home ownership. The pride of home ownership is maintenance, painting, cleaning, all those things that have to be done. I've noticed, for instance, that I can clean my car and get it all shined up and looking good. And a couple days later, I look at it and I think it looks dusty. I don't like how it's looking. If I wait a week, it starts looking really bad. And next thing I know, the birds have found it and have started using it for target practice. And then I think, now what am I going to do? You know, the thing about a car is you have to wash it over and over and over again. I have seen the product that is advertised that says, put this on one time and you will never have to really wash your car again. You just squirt it with a hose and that's it. I have a feeling that that could be one of those telecommercials that's just twisting the truth a little bit. And probably doesn't work out quite that way. It looks amazing on the commercial, but I don't think it probably happens that way. Because the truth of the matter is, all those sorts of things take a lot of maintenance. Have you ever noticed how quickly your house gets messed up after you clean it? Wouldn't it be nice, ladies, if you could clean the house? Can I just say to the teenagers, wouldn't it be nice if you could clean your room and it never got dirty again? You never had to do that again. It would just be wonderful. You could organize everything one time, never have another problem. That's kind of how I feel about my office. I wish I could just organize it one time, never have another problem with it getting dirty. But, you know, that's not how it works. There's a continual need for diligence in cleaning a house or a car. The word diligence, or the idea of the state of diligence, is it is a state of awareness. It is a state of attention. You see, when we're diligent in things, it means that we are watching, that we are paying attention, and that we are doing the little things along the way that make the difference. I've tried to help my children understand this. It's a lot easier to pick up 3 pairs of socks at the end of the day than it is to clean up a week worth of clothes that has not been thrown where it should be thrown. It's a lot easier. Now, some of the teenagers right away are preparing an argument in their mind. But, you know, sometimes we're not diligent in those sorts of things. Sometimes we say, you know, for instance, in our spiritual life, we need to have a real awareness of our walk with God. But have you noticed that it's very easy for us to grow cold in our relationship with the Lord? And the Song of Solomon says it this way: it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's usually not some big sin that draws us away from the Lord. It's usually just a bunch of little things that accumulate, and we haven't been diligent. And next thing we know, we start looking and we realize, wow, I'm really far away from the Lord. I'm far from where I ought to be. How did I get in this place? It was a lack of diligence. You see, what contributes to a lack of diligence is self-absorption. When we get so consumed with ourselves and what we want to do, and we live in an entertainment culture, so the things that we want to enjoy, that we are not paying attention to the things that ought to be taken care of, that ought to be done. Amen. I thought about how many of us in our culture are so buried in our smart devices that we don't even see what's happening right in front of our faces. We don't go out to eat a lot, but it's ironic to me how often when we go out to eat, we see people who evidently decided to go out to eat together, to spend time together, but they're spending the whole time looking at their individual smartphones. I don't know if they're texting each other across the table or what they're doing, but I think, you know, it's a shame to come to a nice restaurant and say you're going to spend time together and then spend the whole time looking at your smartphone instead of paying attention to the other person. And you know what's happening is they're often very absorbed in whatever is going on in their corner of the internet. And what a shame that is, because they're not paying attention to other things. How many of us have seen the videos of the people not paying attention? They're doing something on their smartphone and they walk right into a water fountain, or right into a light pole, or right into an oncoming car, because they're not paying attention. See, they're absorbed in something that has got their attention, and it's drawing their attention away from some things that they need to be diligent about. All around us, there is a continual need for diligence. I wish that it was as easy as just saying, well, I'm going to be diligent from now on. But it's a lot harder than that. All the things that require our diligence. And now let's get right down to the word diligent, and let's talk about what that means. Because the word diligent really means work. It means that effort will be expended. Notice there, he says, be thou diligent to know. What is it about diligence that makes it so difficult? And why is it that God would need to command us to be diligent? Why would God need, for instance, to command us to be diligent to know the state of our flocks and herds? I mean, if you were a farmer and you had a bunch of sheep and goats and cattle, wouldn't it just come naturally to you? Oh, I need to know how all those animals are doing. I'm going to tell you that it wouldn't come naturally to you. It would actually be something that would be difficult. And that's why he says, be thou diligent to know. The word diligence in the Oxford English Dictionary means this: constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. It is persistent application and endeavor. You see, the word diligence means to work and to keep on working. Now, the reason this is true is because we live in a sin-cursed world that is subject to the law of degeneration. The laws of degeneration, and this is a law in physics, in science, it is a law that we see in human nature, and that is that generally, left to themselves, things get worse, not better. This is why, teenagers, your room doesn't get cleaner while you sleep. This is why your car doesn't magically get the oil changed on it just because you thought about it. This is why the lawn doesn't get mowed just by you thinking, you know, the lawn probably needs to get mowed. No, there's effort. There's something that's got to be expended. When we look at the world around us, we see the law of devolution, not evolution. We see that things get worse, not better with effort. For instance, I've noticed that if you don't keep putting coats of paint on wood, eventually the paint fails and the wood rots. It's not hard to understand. And someone who lets the paint get real old and fade away and then the water starts soaking in, pretty soon they're going to have a much bigger mess to deal with than just putting a coat of paint on. Now they're going to have to tear out a whole bunch of rottenness and they're going to have to rebuild it and maybe there's going to be structural damage. See, a lack of diligence has long-lasting effects. And some of the men who work in the trades will understand exactly what I'm speaking about there. There is a constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. If you have something to do, the scripture says, do it with all thy might. Now you say, Pastor, why are you preaching about this? I'm preaching about this because we are looking at a generation in our country that has a very shallow level of diligence. We have a group of people, a generation that has been raised to think everything just happens by itself. There's a number of reasons for that. Maybe their parents have always done those things for them. Maybe they've just gotten used to things being provided for them. But you know, the school of hard knocks comes in after a while. And you start to figure out that, guess what? That's not how life works. For instance, if you never check the oil on your car and you just keep driving it and you ignore the dummy light that comes on that says, hey, you need to check the oil, well, then don't be surprised if your engine locks up and you don't have a car to drive anymore. And then you call somebody and say, I can't believe it, my car doesn't run anymore. Well, I mean, I'm going to say it as nicely as I can, but you're the dummy that didn't change the oil. You're the one that didn't check the oil. Like, that's your responsibility. That's diligence. But sometimes we just get lax. And by the way, it's not just young people that struggle with this. I think this goes along with living in a country of plenty. Because we live in a country of plenty, and most of us do not know what it is to know want, most of us feel like if something breaks, we just get a new one. Hey, listen, if it doesn't work anymore, then I'll just go down to the store and get another one. I'll order it off of Amazon. It's no problem, no big deal. And I just think most of us have not understood the importance of diligence. The importance of diligence in our lives. And it's not just about physical things. It's about spiritual things. You know, just simple things like you have to get out of bed on Sunday morning in order to be on time to Sunday school and church. And you know, getting up on time to go to Sunday school and church means not only do you have to get up on time on Sunday morning, but you have to go to bed on time on Saturday night. And so don't be surprised if you're not diligent and you stay up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning watching movies and surfing the internet and Facebooking your friends and all that kind of stuff. If it's hard to get up on Sunday morning, I mean, yeah, most of us, if we only get 4 hours of sleep, that's kind of hard. It's hard to get out of bed. And then it's easier just to stay in bed and say, oh, well, you know, they have church there every week. Well, you do that long enough, and it's going to affect your spiritual life. It's a lack of diligence. Diligence really comes down to effort that is expended. Can you tell the difference in your neighborhood between someone who is a diligent yard worker and someone who is not? I mean, probably all of us have somebody in the, maybe it's you, in the neighborhood who mows their grass every 2 days because they don't want any blades of grass to be out of place and, you know, that person. Then most neighborhoods have the person that their yard looks like they never did have a lawnmower and they haven't gotten around to it in a long time. So you can tell the difference who's diligent and who isn't. And there's all kinds of different reasons for that. Sometimes health prevents people from being able to take care of their yard. Sometimes other sorts of things weigh in on that. And it's not our purpose tonight to walk, you know, go around all the neighborhoods and try to judge who's a good yard worker and who's not. But you can tell who really values their lawn. By the way, if you go to my lawn, you'll see I don't value my lawn a whole lot. Amen. It's not that important to me. Some people get really into, I hate to take away business from Brother Goss because he gives and he honors the Lord, and I want the Lord to bless his business. But, you know, I actually like having clover in my lawn and dandelions and stuff like that. I actually like how it looks, and I like what it does for my honeybees and all that kind of stuff. And so, but that's just how it is. You know, so if you come and look at my yard, you'll say, well, Pastor's not really a diligent yard worker. Can you tell when someone is diligent in caring for their house? They take care of maintenance and keep things up. Yeah, you can tell. You can tell when somebody values things. Can you tell when someone is diligent in their personal grooming? Sure you can. You can tell when people care. Sometimes we can care too much about those sorts of things. But, you know, you can also tell the guy who doesn't care, the guy who has 4 days of growth on his face all the time. And the way to get around that is just to grow a beard, and then nobody can tell. And that's my motto, all right? But, you know, the teenage boy who gets up in the morning and he hasn't combed his hair in 3 days. And when his mom says, go comb your hair, he says, what? Why do I need to comb my hair today? I'm not going anywhere. Okay, so obviously personal grooming's not high on the list of diligence there. How many people are diligent with their garden? You know, those gardeners who are meticulous and it's always weeded and they get all the best produce and you think, man, these people are amazing. What is it that makes somebody such a good gardener? It's just diligence. It's just hard work. And a good deal of diligence, this effort that is required, is learning where to invest your time and resources. And here's why. Because everyone in here has the same problem. Our time and our resources are limited. So we have to choose where to invest our time and resources. And I'm going to say something which I hope you'll understand. All of us are being diligent about something. But the question is if we are being diligent about the right things. So you could have a teenage boy who's very diligent in bass fishing, but that's probably not going to help him on his algebra exam. That's not going to help him in the more important parts of life. And, you know, bass fishing might be fun, but that's not really going to do much for him. I know he probably is telling you that he's going to get on the professional tour and get sponsored and get a lot of money, and that's how he's going to make his living, by bass fishing. And, well, you know, I hope he does. Effort is required. But for all of us, we have to learn, where am I going to invest my time and resources best? Now, I'm going to say something else about this. There are a lot of diligence stealers, or things that try to redirect our diligence. And a lot of those things are connected. And I hope you understand tonight, I'm not anti-technology. But a lot of our technological marvels that we have tend to steal our diligence. And I mentioned our smart devices earlier, and I'm thankful, actually. I was talking about this with some friends of mine the other day, some pastor friends of mine, about how much the world has changed in the last 15 to 20 years. And there are things that we talk about that we understand that our children have no idea what that is, or maybe they've only seen a picture of it, or on a show they saw something about that, you know, like a phone with a cord. what is that? Why would they ever use a cord on a phone? Man, I remember when my dad got his first car phone, and it was like a case, a suitcase, and it sat in the front, and it was only for emergencies. You didn't use that for anything because it cost a fortune to use it. And now we all carry around supercomputers in our pockets. But the problem with that is that all of a sudden, with the world at our fingertips, there's lots of things that can start to sound really important that we've just got to work on, and then we're not being diligent in the things that we ought to be diligent in. And so we have to really learn to set good priorities. There's an effort that is required, and there is a wisdom that is required in exercising our diligence. So now let's talk for a moment about the practical need for diligence. Because he says here in verse 23, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." And why should we do that? "For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation." So just real practically, in this passage, I asked my children this the other day. What do flocks and herds represent to the people that would have originally heard this proverb? What do they represent, do you think? Wealth. All right. Flocks and herds were not a hobby for these people. This would be like your bank account, your retirement, the equity in your house. I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is primarily a financial application. And he says this, learn to know the condition or the state of your flocks, verse 23, and look well to thy herds. Why is that? Because for those who are hearing this proverb, their flock and their herd, that was their wealth. I don't know if you know much about sheep, but if you just leave them alone to themselves, they die. A lot of shepherds might say, sheep are just looking for a place to die. They're kind of like chickens who are constantly being preyed on. And, you never know what's going to happen. If you turn around and there's a dead chicken, what happened? I don't know, a raccoon got it in the middle of the night or something. And just the other day, we had some kind of a critter that tore our entire chain link fence apart at the door and got in, and there's nothing left. So you have to be diligent to know the state of your flock and herd. Now, to us, the loss of half a dozen laying chickens is not catastrophic. We can still go to Aldi's and buy eggs for 90 cents a dozen. In fact, it's cheaper to not have chickens. Just telling you a secret, all right? Anyway, but to us, that's not devastating. However, think about how devastating of a financial loss it would be to you if you had flocks and herds and that was your wealth, and one night a wolf came and just wiped everything out and you lost everything. Or because of neglect, your ewes that were carrying young, you weren't taking care of them, and then they died in childbirth, and in the process you end up losing several animals, and then that attracts wild animals to come and prey on. You can't just leave sheep out in the wilderness and expect them to just multiply and everything's going to work out okay. It doesn't work that way. You see, you have to be diligent to know the state of your flock. So he's dealing with an application that is primarily about riches and wealth. And I thought about our finances as God's people. Should we be diligent to think about our finances? Amen. Yes, we should. Now, we shouldn't worry about them. We shouldn't allow ourselves to be consumed by the thought of finances. But Christians struggle with the same things that other people struggle with. And that is that when you start hemorrhaging money and it's going out faster than it's coming in, you have a significant problem. And you've got to learn, it's a nasty word. You've got to learn something called budgeting. And budgeting is actually diligence. Budgeting says, I wish our federal government could figure this out. I don't spend more than I have. I don't spend more than I possess. Because if I do, I'm going to get myself in a bad place. And I know, you go into the store and you see that thing on sale that you've always wanted, and I just got to have it right now. I know, I'll just put it on the credit card. And what you're doing is you're not being diligent. You're causing yourself problems, and down the road you're going to regret making those decisions. So there is a need for us to be diligent in our finances. I think that God's people should be diligent concerning their finances. I think we should be diligent in our finances enough that we are providing for the needs of our family, men, that we are laying up something for the future, and that we are honoring God with the increase that He has given to us. And I think all those things are important. And there's different aspects of that that we could talk about. It's not my purpose tonight to talk about finances primarily, but that is the primary application of this verse. One of the reasons that so many of us struggle with finances is because of the law of degeneration as it applies to finances. It is true, and it always has been true, that it's easier to spend than it is to gain the assets. And so there's an important principle that needs to be learned there. But I think it has to do with more than just finances. There's application in so many other areas of life. How about our families? And I'm going to speak primarily to the men who are the heads of their homes. Men, we need to be diligent in knowing the state of our flock. We need to know what is going on in the lives of our children. You know, if you're not diligent in your family, you're going to be taken by surprise by a lot of things. And I think, you know, if you just think it's all going to work out fine. No, the world is much too wicked for that. We live in a very wicked world. And if you're not paying attention to what is going on in your flock, in that little flock that God has given you, and you're the head of that home, and you're responsible to watch out for those that God has given to you, then you're going to be caught by surprise by some things. Can I just meddle a little bit? I'm going to. You ought to know what's on your kids' smart devices. What are they looking at? Who are they texting? Who's on their friend list? Do they need to be on social media at all? We've mentioned this a number of times. I'm reminded again today, reading the news, how critical it is that parents be plugged into their children's lives and know who they are talking to over the internet. Amen. Do you understand tonight that there are predators that would like to have access to your children and to ruin their lives? Pay attention to what is going on. I mean, think about what is going on in my children's hearts. Do you ever just sit and talk to your children and ask them, what are you thinking about spiritual things? What is God talking to you about? Are you reading your Bible? Are you learning anything from the messages? Do you ever just get alone and have a conversation with them and say, hey, what are you interested in right now? What's going on in your life? Is there something that we could go do together that would be enjoyable, that you would really enjoy? Spend some time with that flock that God has given to you. You know, one of the things that happens in our lives is many of us get so busy being diligent, doing things that aren't that important, that we're neglecting things that are really important. Amen. And sometimes, men, it might be that you need to turn down a job promotion that requires more responsibility, that requires more time away, because you need to say, hey, you know what? No, it's more important that I'm going to be connected to my family, that I know what's going on in my children's lives, that I'm home and with them. You see, there's a great responsibility for us to have diligence with our family. Raising children, I keep reminding myself about this, raising children is a season. And some of you who are done raising your children would say, it's over fast. When you look back, you say, wow, that time went by quickly. And I know sometimes when you're in the trenches, in the nasty now, and it's frustrating and it's difficult, it's a lot easier to just say, well, let somebody else do it. I'll outsource it. I'll subcontract it. No, you know, at the end of the day, you're the parent. God has called you to be diligent in shepherding that flock, in leading that flock that God has given to you. So be diligent to know the state of thy flock. I thought about another one our friendships and relationships that we have. Did you ever notice that relationships require a lot of diligence? Now, men joke about the fact that male friendships usually are very low maintenance. For instance, two guys who are friends could not see each other for 3 years, walk into a place, see each other and say, "Hey, how you doing?" and catch up, and they're fine with that. And if they don't see each other for another 3 or 4 years and don't talk in between, no problem. But that's not really the truth. Because we would not call that a friendship so much as we would call that an acquaintance. That would be a relationship. See, a friendship requires an investment of time and energy. A friendship requires communication. If we're talking about spiritual fellowship, it requires spending time together around the things of the Lord. And we try to provide opportunities for that here in the church family. Relationships. Let's talk for a moment about, for instance, the relationships that we have with other members of the church. And if you're a member of the church, then God has put us together. The Holy Spirit has joined us together. We have a responsibility to one another, but it takes time. People say, you know, why do we have church so much? Because we need to have time together. We need to be bonded together in serving the Lord. We need to so much the more as we see the day approaching, we need to be spending time together, encouraging one another, putting our attention on the things of the Lord together. That's why I don't think it's wise to start dropping out of church and saying, you know, I don't think it's important for me to be there for that service or for that class or for that. I think once a week is enough for me. My observation is that people who make that decision struggle to have genuine, authentic relationships with other people in the church. And the reason is because they're just not there. And those same people will often get offended and they'll say, "Nobody knows who I am." It's hard for people to know who you are when you're not present, when you're somewhere else. And the truth of the matter is that any type of relationship requires an investment of diligence. A husband-wife relationship takes diligence. If you just figure, well, we got a marriage license and we live in the same house and we had some kids together, everything else will work out. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to be diligent to spend time together, to talk, to listen, to resolve conflict. Oh, that resolving conflict takes a lot of diligence, doesn't it? And actually, that's why many people back away from relationships, because they don't like having to deal with conflict. But guess what? You take two sinners and put them together in a relationship, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be problems. There's going to be difficulties that have to be worked through. And it's not because everybody else is a sinner. You see, it's just as much you as them. Amen. And so if we're going to have strong friendships and relationships, it takes time. It takes an investment of energy. It takes spending time together. It takes going out of your way and doing things that maybe you don't even want to do. Maybe you're not that interested in doing, but you need to invest time in that relationship and that friendship. So that's why the book of Proverbs says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Friendship is more about giving than it is about receiving. It takes diligence. How about your job? There's a need for diligence in your job. And this is a truth that should be understood by all of us. I trust it is. But, you know, if you just figure, well, they'll keep paying me, I don't even have to show up, that's not going to work out for very long. I mean, if every other day is a sick day, and, oh, my back is really bothering me, I just can't make it today, and next week, I got a sore throat, I can't make it today, at some point, your boss is going to say, "I'm not sure what's wrong with you, but you seem to have a condition, and it seems like you're allergic to work, and you might not have a job anymore." You know, here's the thing. A job is a significant investment of time. That's why so many people don't want one. Because they've got other things that they would rather do, that they would rather be involved in. But, you know, it takes time and energy to have a job. And a job isn't sinful, by the way. Do you know, before the curse of sin, God made man to work. And work is a noble pursuit. Now, we have to keep it in balance. We have to make sure that it doesn't become the most important priority. But there's a need for diligence. I think that God's people ought to be known on the job as the most diligent, hard workers that there are. I think they ought to be the ones who are looked to as, hey, you know what? They're going to give their all. They're going to do their very best. And yes, it'll be for the glory of God, but they're going to do the best that they can. That ought to be the reputation of God's people. God's people ought not to be lazy, ought not to be shirking their duty. There's a need for diligence in our job. Are you thinking of some other places where we need to have diligence? Some places where we need to apply this principle? Be diligent to know the state of thy flock. So let's take just a moment and talk about your spiritual life. Does it take diligence to have the kind of walk with God that you ought to have? Yes, it does. You know, the Bible teaches two different aspects. One aspect is the responsibility of God. And God makes certain promises, like we talked about this morning. He is going to continue that work in you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to live inside of you. He's going to work to make you into the image of Christ. And one day when you get into the presence of the Lord, you're going to realize all that God has in store. That is true. But you know, the Bible also talks about your personal responsibility for diligence. For instance, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that you should work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that doesn't mean earn your salvation. It means work out the salvation that God has given to you. I mean, let it be seen by others that you are a child of God. You're going to need give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. That's what the book of 1 Peter says. And so there's an important principle that you and I are going to need to be diligent in our relationship with God. If we are not diligent in our relationship with God, then don't be surprised if you are weak, anemic, if your heart is not involved in worship. Don't be surprised if you just barely feel like you're barely getting by. Don't be surprised if you're constantly under conviction of sin. Don't be surprised if your life is not really having an impact on anyone around you because you're not investing with diligence in what arguably should be the most important aspect of your life. That's what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, this diligence in your spiritual life looks like, I am going to read my Bible every day, whether I feel like it or not. Amen. Now, many times we just say, well, I'm waiting for the Spirit of God to move me. And that sounds so spiritual. I'm waiting to wake up one morning and just feel like reading my Bible. Nope. I'm guessing if you haven't read your Bible in quite a while, other than when you come to church, there's not going to be a morning anytime soon when you're going to wake up and feel like reading your Bible. It's an awful lot like physical exercise, actually. You know, you probably rarely feel like exercising. Now, maybe some of you are really into exercising and you enjoy it, but, you know, that takes time to develop that, doesn't it? It takes effort and diligence on your part. It's the same spiritually. So there's a lot of truth in this matter. You're not, generally speaking, just going to be struck by the feeling, oh, I want to pray, I want to read my Bible. You're going to have to decide to do what is right, whether you feel like it or not. Amen. How about witnessing? Should we be diligent in sharing the gospel with others? I think we would be so far off from the purpose of the Scripture if we tried to argue that that is not God's purpose. It's all in the New Testament that we should be witnesses for Christ. But a lot of Christians are saying, well, you know, I'm just waiting for God to make me feel like sharing the gospel. I hate to say it, but it's not going to happen that way. You see, if you know it's right, then you should choose to do what is right. And down the road, you're going to find that the feeling will follow. You're going to find that you will. It's the same with reading your Bible. You start reading your Bible and spending time with the Lord and hearing from Him. It won't be long till that becomes a part of your life. And you say, hey, I need to spend time with God. Yet there's got to be some diligence that is applied. See, there's God's part and there's my part. And my part is to be diligent in seeking first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Many Christians complain about not having the kind of walk with God that they know they ought to have and that they want to have. And the simple reason for that is because of their own lack of diligence. To put it another way, it's not God's fault. There's no heavenly lightning bolt that's going to suddenly change your state of sanctification. It's going to require some diligence on your part. See, the reason that we should be diligent, he says in verse 23 about the state of our flocks and look well to our herds, is because riches are not forever. The crown does not endure to every generation. In other words, he's talking about the temporary nature of physical things and how quickly things degenerate. And that is true across the board. So we have to exercise diligence in our lives. There is a practical need for us to take the time to expend effort in those things that are wise, those things that would please God, those things that would most be characterized as the will of God. But in order to do that, you may need to cut some other things out of your life. You may need to make some space for the things that are truly important so that you can exercise diligence in those areas. You know, there's a lot at stake. When we talk about this issue of diligence, and especially concerning spiritual things, there is a lot at stake.
Amen.
You say, well, I thought you said this morning, Pastor, that once saved, always saved, and we're secure. Yes. But, you know, there are people around you who are watching. There are people who are being impacted by your testimony. There are maybe in your home, there's some children who are paying attention, who are being affected by your testimony. And what a sad thing it would be if you made it to heaven, but your testimony kept your children from getting to that place. You know, we need to be diligent. We need to exercise diligence in so many things and be wise. God commands us to be diligent, and there's a reward for diligence. There's a blessing that is involved. You can read the verses that are following. You and I should be diligent in our duty. Now, we're going to close the service in just a moment. But I want you to take just a moment, and don't look around at anybody else, but take a moment and reflect on your own life. We're not going to have any music. Nobody's going to sing. Just going to have some quietness. And I want you to reflect on what we've talked about tonight and ask yourself, what is the most important change that I could make in this upcoming week regarding my own personal diligence in my life? I mean, maybe you need to go home and cut your grass. I don't know. Maybe you need to make some decisions about your walk with God. I'm not sure what God has in store for you, but I want you to take just a few moments and you do business with God, and I'm going to come back in about 2 minutes and pray, and then we're going to be dismissed.